Welcome to Ruby Rider's Peggy Paradise podcast number 156 on March 5th, 2017. Changing the world, one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, do consider becoming a patron of mine so that I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles, and recording videos for people interested in pegging everywhere. You can become a patron at Patreon, patreon.com/RubyRider, or click the Support My Work button on the right-hand side of my website. Okay, a quick announcement. I'm having another couple of pegging classes in Long Beach on March 19th. You can find the link for those on the right-hand side of my website. There will always be a link to the upcoming classes that I'm teaching on the right-hand side of my website under Education, just as an FYI. So yeah, wanted to make that announcement. So now let's just jump right in because I have a lot of stuff to cover. This is a comment from podcast number 112. Hi, Ruby. I just wanted to say thank you. Finding Pegging Paradise, and in particular, podcast number 112, has just been absolutely amazing. I have long fantasized about pegging, and I've even shared my desires with my wife during steamy fuck sessions with her. But I'm not sure how sincere she believed I was about my lust to be pegged, and was curious to why I want her to fuck me with a strap-on. In the same breath, anal play is not a foreign concept to us, as we already play around with rimming, fingers, and more recently, butt plugs. But your podcast put into words what I could freely not, and she is totally on board for wanting to explore and peg me now. Not that she wasn't before, but my wife now has a greater understanding of the deeper connection I hope to attain by having her fuck me. I'm a firm believer in taking things at an appropriate pace, and I'm working my way towards the ultimate goal of being pegged. I play daily with the sensation the plugs create and working up to where I feel I need to be with regard to being pegged. And the very evening of my wife having listened to your amazing podcast number 112, we discussed the subject of pegging. This got me slightly excited, and we ended up talking about pegging whilst my wife kindly gave me a hand job and my wearing a Fun Factory plug. It was the most intense orgasm I have ever received. Many more to come, I hope. So, long story short, thank you for helping me broach a subject that I was starting to feel was becoming an isolated interest as opposed to a shared experience with my wife. You have helped me tackle the fear of her judgment about my wanting to be pegged, whilst also allowing my wife to look at her own fears about the subject. She gets my lust to see her wearing a strap-on, and my fantasies about wanting to feel her push deep into me, the desire to explore an intimate role reversal. I think my wife is arguably the most beautiful person on the planet, inside and out. The strap-on is an extension of that beauty to unlock something I know is waiting to bloom. Thank you. Ha, that was poetic. That last part, that was amazing. I really enjoyed how you expressed that your wife now has a greater understanding of the deeper connection you hope to attain by having her fuck you. That is so right on. I don't know the word to put in there. It's just so accurate. That's what I keep telling people is possible, and how wonderful that podcast number 112 helped her to understand that. You two are right on the path, and I love how you are pacing things and really enjoying the work up to finally getting pegged, really enjoying that anticipation and all of those little moments, those little firsts and things. That sounds absolutely delicious. Please do let us know when I can play the music for you, too. I will be absolutely happy to. And if you know of any other friends who are interested in pegging, perhaps you have friends that you can speak openly to about sexual things, perhaps you're kinky, I don't know, but please feel free to spread the word about podcast number 112 to any men who have the same interests and are in the same position that you are. Okay, here's another letter. Hi, Ruby. I love listening to your podcast, and it was a highlight of data entry to listen through headphones on the down low so that I could satisfy my curiosity and thirst for knowledge while performing a mundane task. Hearing steamy stories about pegging seems like the best kind of multitasking if you were to ask me. That being said, I noticed a trend in some of your listeners' stories to promote chastity play, feminization, forced bisexuality, sissification, and so on as part of the experience of pegging. I wonder if these are really the undertakings of these listeners or simply the fantasies. I know that ex-hamster seems to often lump those other aforementioned kinks and fetishes in with pegging. The problem as I see it is that these fetishes can be subject to very binary thinking. In psychology, they call it mechanical logic sometimes. I wrote an entire piece on FetLife called The Sissification Situation, and another that is a basic guide to chastity play for the novice. I'll briefly explain why I think these forms of play can be problematic, and I'll validate them too in the interest of fairness. Chastity play is great because it can increase sensitivity, bring in an element of denial. That use of denial can be a marvelous aphrodisiac for participants. I have used gentle pinning and denial of mouth-to-mouth kissing as a form of play during sexy times, and it is wonderful, as the other person begs and begs for kissing on the lips. The moans of satisfaction are delicious. This goes hand in hand with chastity play, which brings that same dynamic to contact with the penis. Even without a chastity cage, the chastised can enjoy the build-up and release. Where it can take a dark turn is the exploitative nature of some dominance. As we all know, there are manipulative and abusive personalities in the world, and very often, erotic fantasy media, parentheses, erotica, captioned pictures, audio files, and videos, can feature some form of dangerously hurtful fantasy that centers around giving away your property and finances, being cuckolded, which can have emotionally damaging aspects, and even being surgically castrated in certain fantasies. The damage this line of thinking can do to the desperate is devastating and irreparable. Feminization is great. You, as someone assigned male at birth, regardless of your sexuality, can throw on some gorgeous frock, make yourself up, and feel pretty. Your partner can relish and revel in your feminine presentation. As someone who is gender fluid, I love to gender bend, because for me, that is the natural form of expression. No binary, just whatever I feel. That being said, it can quickly take a dark turn. Feminization can venture into an expression of toxic masculinity, where the feminized man is reduced into an object. There can be elements of racism in the media of feminization, sissification, and bimboization to devalue white men or men with smaller penises. Small penis humiliation is a popular trend among the femdom video community on X-Hamster. Of course, most of those with penises have growers that start off smaller. This can further lead to the sub being degraded more and more in an unhealthy way. But as I mentioned in my aforementioned piece on sissification, the practice can be transphobic and hurtful to people who are older or fatter and may not pass for female. Passing is a hurtful concept that the cis community can use on the trans community. The erotic material can then go further into forcing sexual reassignment or viewing she-males as objects. It can all end up degrading men and women, as toxic masculinity often does. Lastly, there is the forced bisexuality facet. As you have noted in your podcast, a lot of great fun can be had by trying things out in a sex-positive atmosphere. Sex and sexuality are good, especially with precaution and only with consent. One of your listeners noted that his dom thought that men who were truly bi would seek men or women equally for sexual gratification, and that he needed to be prepared to handle ingesting a man's semen. I was glad that you tackled the subject directly and effectively as soon as you mentioned it. There is no such thing as being truly, really, genuinely, or authentically bi, gay, straight, lesbian, or whatever. I have heard the term gold star lesbian thrown around from people who usually exclude the trans community from their cis-gay picnics. Sexuality, as actress Jane Lynch puts it, is not static, but swims around. While the forced element is in line with BDSM, we would question a kinky gay couple that forced the sub to play with someone of the opposite sex. No, for some reason, the taboo element of homosexuality and bisexuality for straight people makes it into a kink for heterosexuals. For the sub, it has to be agreed on beforehand, not forced against their will by the dom. I think that ever since the 50 Shades series came out, people have thought that DS relationships are exclusively about what the dominant wants. If you force someone to do something sexual without their explicit consent and forego any safe words, that is rape. So where am I going with all this? The point is that these kinks and fetishes are like cocktail ingredients or toppings on a pizza. You can mix them in from time to time, but if you like grenadine or orange bitters in your drink, it does not mean you should have a glass of nothing but those. And no, I am not a fan of pizzas with only one type of topping to the max, unless it is a distinctive and pleasurable ingredient. I do not want anyone who is interested in pegging or other butt play to think that it entails measuring his feet for high heels, getting him in a chastity cage and hormone treatments, or finding some willing third party with a penis to partake. Those are optional. You can enjoy sucking on a penis without being gay. If you have a penis and want to know if you can handle ingesting semen, ingest your own. I do not think I could say it better than you do, Ruby, in your solo ass play for newbies section. Try things out. Take it slow. Use plenty of lube and precaution when required, and have fun with it. Do not force things. I have often had to tell men on FetLife that if they want someone to peg them, they need to peg themselves first. I think part of the problem is that it can be hard for a man or a male at birth person to think it's sexy to sit, stand, lie around, massaging oneself and working over your butthole. There is a lot of shame we put into it, and like to treat it as a way to scratch the itch, rather than a valid and sexy form of sexuality. But to them I pose this: if it is sexy to you to watch someone else masturbate, and it is sexy for someone to get off on watching you, then it can be just as sexy for you to be by yourself, exploring, probing, and massaging yourself into ecstasy. A course I took on Everyday Feminism's website talked about self-love, and a surprising aspect is to actually stop and appreciate yourself. It does not have to be vain, I have the best butt, or my dick is magic, but rather it can be simple as, I like my body, I have a cute face, or I really am attractive and desirable. And it is only with affirmations like these that I would suggest using really, truly, etc., because you need to believe them in order to move beyond the self-doubt and shame. Hopefully, that air of positivity in your persona and your sex life will help you seek the partners you want and foster relationships that grow to explore everything you want and need, and nothing toxic or hurtful. I understand that a lot of this is obvious to some, but too many of us need reminders that we can be and are more than what our negative self-talk dictates. It turns the mirror from our least favorite thing in the world into a helpful tool for checking in and bolstering ourselves. Goddess bless and restore. Wow, that was a lot of really interesting information. So I am 100% totally on board with, first of all, consensuality, because a lot of what I hear you talking about here is that these things can have a dark side. Oh, goodness, yes. Almost everything can have a dark side. Pegging can have a dark side. And I think one of the worst portrayals of pegging is often porn. It has often puzzled me why pegging porn includes so much BDSM, sissification, feminization, humiliation, degradation, in what definitely feels to me like a dark side. And over again, I have told men who are looking to find a partner for pegging, please do not show her pegging porn, because the vast majority of pegging porn out there is exactly like that. And if you can tune it out and just watch the action of a guy getting fucked, awesome. But women oftentimes don't have that automatic tune-out ability. We see sort of everything in the porn, and like the whole environment really matters a lot when we're getting fucked. You know, I actually wrote an article back in July of 2012, I think it was, and I'm going to link to this in the Linkorama, and it's called How Porn Ruins Pegging. Now, if I had to retitle that now, with all the experience I've gained over the last 5 years, I would probably say How Porn Can Ruin Pegging, because I totally get how it's portrayed in a way that leads you to believe that all of this is inextricably connected. So I want you to know that every single class that I teach, I tell people, that's one of the things I address, that all of these things that you're talking about here that you usually see in porn are not inextricably connected to pegging at all, that it can absolutely be just a loving, wonderful experience between two people and not involve any of that. So I have addressed this a long time ago. Do I address it on every single podcast? Absolutely not. It sounds like there was just a few too many letters who went off into fetish land, and you wanted to make sure that the other side was represented. That can happen sometimes, and you know, people who are out there who really only prefer sensual pegging may really not like those letters, and that's fine. But here's the deal. I'm 100% on board with there can be some real negative things happening, but at the same time, I really want to hold space for people like what they like. I want to hold space for everybody. You can be bisexual and like pegging. You can be into cissification and like pegging. You can be a crossdresser and like pegging. And you can like none of those things and many, many more and enjoy pegging anyway. It's just one more way to make love. It can be a very sensual, sweet way of sexually playing together that has absolutely nothing to do with any of the things that you mentioned. At the same time, there's lots of overlaps. There's lots of overlaps with pegging and the BDSM community, certainly in my life, and I've talked a fair amount about that, but also other kinks that I don't partake in, but certainly wish to hold space for. So the guy that wrote in about his partner forcing him to do things, it's really difficult to tell from a letter whether that's consensual or not. The way that he wrote it made it sound like he didn't have a choice. The way that I chose to take it is that everyone makes a choice and that it does need to always be consensual in the beginning. And if what really turns you on is pretending that you do have no choice, then more power to it. So that's kind of the way I took that letter. But I felt a little uneasy when I read it because it did read so much like she was forcing him to do things. So for everybody out there that's just tuning in, just listening to their first podcast, pegging can be whatever you want it to be. As long as it's with a partner, it's consensual, and nobody gets hurt, okay? It can really be anything you want to be. You can include as many other kinks in it as you want. You can include none if you want. It's really up to the two of you to decide how to express that. And this is where a lot of the Podcast 112 is really helpful. And I'm not sure, sir, who wrote this letter, I'm not sure if you have listened to that podcast, because one of the things I do in that is I go through all of the different fears and misconceptions that women have, and a lot of these are tied into things. Do you want to be humiliated and degraded? Well, I don't know whether your partner wants to be humiliated and degraded or not. You have to talk to them about it. And so on with each of the fears, including feminization. There's no talk of forced bisexual or chastity play in podcast number 112, because to me that's sort of getting into the varsity stuff. But again, I think it is very important for everyone to understand that all of this needs to be consensual, that there's no forcing, there's no have-to part of pegging that's connected to anything. There is no inextricable connection, okay, between any of these kinks that you mention and pegging. If you want to do them, great. If you don't, great. And if you do want to do them, please take care with any of these kinks that you are coming from a very positive place. For example, let me talk to you about something in my own life. Give you an example. I am a dominant woman. I love being a dominant woman. I love the BDSM play. It has to be consensual to me, because even though I do identify myself as a sadist, I'm not having a good time unless my partner's having a good time. Now, here's the really interesting part of this that kind of goes off the charts a little bit. So stay with me here. Stick with me and listen. I have fantasies of doing things that I wouldn't do in real life. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, the vast majority of us do have fantasies of things that we would not wish to partake in real life. So here's mine. And I think I've shared this before, but if I haven't, man, listen up, because this is a revelation on my podcast. I have fantasies of pushing guys a little bit further than they can take. When I'm doing impact play, when I'm spanking them, when I'm paddling with a paddle, and when I'm pegging them, I have fantasies of using a toy a little bit bigger than they can handle and really, really making them work for it. And they're right on that line between, oh my God, this is amazing, and crap, this hurts, and I don't know if I can handle this. Well, see, if it's even close to that line in real life, that qualifies as the person I'm playing with is not having a good time, and therefore immediately I am not having a good time either. And still, That is something that really gets me off. So I think that we all also need to hold space for the fact that we have some of these fantasies sometimes. And these fantasies are not something we wish to live out necessarily. Like some podcast back, I can't remember which one it was, a guy wrote in and said, oh, I know which one it was. It was the bisexual one. So I have a whole podcast that I invited bisexual men to write in and tell their stories, right? So this one guy wrote in and said, man, I have so many fantasies about this. My wife knows about it. And we actually incorporate it in our play, but I don't do anything with it. And I don't plan to do anything with it because this is what we've decided in my relationship with my wife. And so she teases me verbally when she fucks me and she pegs me and stuff. But, you know, we don't go there. So see, there's so many different ways to handle that. And once again, for them, that was a situation where he fantasizes about it, but he's not going to go do it. So we all need to hold space for that. That's okay. And the reason that I'm urging you all to do this is because it's really easy to look at things as black and white. It's really easy to go to the extreme and say, okay, forced bisexuality is not cool because you're forcing someone and it's not cool and you never want to force someone. Well, that's doing black and white. What if a person has had fantasies about forced bisexuality? What if that you have completely negotiated and talked about the entire thing, ins and outs, and all of the different things that could go wrong, and what you will do if you did, and you take all the precautions, and you find someone wherever you find them, whether it's on a website or Craigslist or wherever, and you take all the precautions, you get to know them, and you know, develop this chemistry, and you've worked up to the point where you know this is going to happen, right? Well, then that is a situation where you're taking control of your reality and you're actually doing it. So you can't label things bad or good, and you can't even label someone who has rape fantasies as bad. Because if they have rape fantasies, but they would never, ever do it in reality, like me, would I shove a big, huge dildo in a guy's ass in reality just because it turns me on to think about it when I get off? Fuck no. So see, there's this thing that we do where we go, ooh, that's bad. And so you can't fantasize about it. Well, you know, some fantasies are meant to remain as fantasies. So when people write letters in, I take them at their word and assume that they're actually living the things out and not just having fantasies, which you definitely questioned in the beginning of your letter. And I take your point. But there's no way for any of us to know whether the letters written in are real or not. I think that when people are off in fantasy land, it is easier to sort of bypass those dark sides and include them in there without any realization of the repercussions if those fantasies were to actually be reality. So, you know, there's dark sides to everything. You seem to have presented all the dark sides and gotten real serious about it. And I absolutely get that there's dark sides to all of these fetishes, and they deserve to be looked at. But at the same time, those fetishes also deserve to have space held for them as well. And I think that's a lot of what I'm doing here at Pegging Paradise. I do appreciate you elaborating on the dark sides of things. There are many, many nooks and crannies, especially when gender comes into play, trans people come into play, all kinds of things like that. It can be kind of dicey with the assumptions and with people getting discriminated against and people feeling less than, which is always a very sad thing. So I love what you said about really kind of checking yourself out, looking in the mirror and going, hey, you know, I am desirable and people do want me. That was a totally awesome thing to end with. I also want to mention that I think that the 50 Shades movies, they were fucked up pretty much, you know. The people in the BDSM community all agree that they were not a good representation of BDSM at all. On the other hand, the service that those movies have done is that they've brought BDSM into the public eye. They have increased people who want to experiment with BDSM hundreds of folds. I mean, people who own sex toy stores, the sales went through the roof after that movie came out. And it's not just, you know, BDSM stuff. It's sort of sexuality as well. But getting back to the BDSM part of it, Yeah, those movies sucked because they did not show good negotiation. They did not show consensuality. They showed him forcing her, her going, oh, I love this. And it's fucked up. It really is. So I do agree with you absolutely that those movies did not do us a good service in terms of people who took it literally, people who have been encouraged to continue to fantasize. Maybe they fantasized before that being forced would be a cool thing, but in reality, you got to do a hell of a lot of negotiation and communication before you play out that scene of being forced. You really, really do. You have to be with someone who you trust. You have to be with someone who you've talked all about it with before you ever allow someone to have that much control over you, because it's a hell of a lot of trust. When I engage with a partner, I always tell them when I'm getting to know them, I say, you know, you need to trust me. Because the things that I want to do to your body, you better trust me. So let's just keep having dinner, whatever, until you feel comfortable and you feel like you do trust me. And it is, just as an aside, it is a fun sort of role reversal thing, because I feel like the man so often. I pursue guys and stuff like that. And so isn't that a guy thing to say, where it's sort of like, oh, honey, we don't have to have sex right away. We'll just wait until you're comfortable. We'll wait until you trust me. Wait until you know you're ready. And I do that with guys. I really do. Part of the reason I do is because pegging is so vulnerable. It totally is. Anyway, I really appreciate you writing in and naming all of this, because it needs to be said. And yes, sometimes when I read a lot of letters at once that are all about cross-dressing and sissification and DS, and when I say DS, I mean dominance and submission, then yeah, I see where people listening who tune in for the first time and don't have any of those kinks can kind of go, whoa, I didn't know pegging was all this. So let me also mention, I have two websites. One is peggingparadise.com. That website has all kinds of kink with it, because it's me, you know, it's my kinks, and I let my freak flag fly, is what I like to say. And recognizing that there is definitely a need for people who are interested in pegging to be able to have access to that information without the kink input as well, I have pegging101.com. That has all my informational articles on it, but there's no kink at all in that website. So that is a resource that anyone listening can refer friends to who are interested in it that aren't kinky. Or if they're kind of on overwhelm looking at peggingparadise.com, or even listening to this podcast, go to pegging101.com, because that's where you will find kinkless pegging. That's the best way I can put it, because I really want to hold space for everybody, like I say. So there are people that kind of edge closer to maybe what seems like the dark side, but it is consensual, and perhaps they're not fully disclosing all of the negotiation and communication that brought them to this point. Anyway, yes, pizza with all the toppings, absolutely. Thank you so much for writing in, sir. I appreciate it. Okay, hey, guess what, everybody? It's pegging celebration time. Hi, Ruby. I have recently met a guy who has been intrigued by pegging, like myself. He told me about your site and suggested that I start with podcast number 112. Well, I found it very informative, and we are starting to explore pegging with each other. It's amazing, and I wanted you to know that the, quote, Harley riding lineman from New York, end quote, has been pegged. We are big fans of yours. The Harley riding lineman, that creates quite a visual. It really does. Thank you so much for writing in and letting us know. I am happy to play the music for you. Oh my gosh, that was awesome when I read this one. And this is an example for everybody listening that, you know, what if you want me to play the music for you, you can write something as short as that. Just give me a paragraph saying, hey, we did it. We're awesome. You know, it was fun. You don't have to get really elaborate. I love it when people write in and they really get the details out there, because it's nice and juicy and erotic and fun to read and fun for you all to listen to. But it's not absolutely necessary by any means. Okay. Thanks for writing in, madam. And congratulations to the both of you. All right. This is a piece that I found on FetLife. This is somebody who wrote to me and sent me a friend request and referred to a piece that he wrote and posted up on FetLife. As soon as I read it, I wanted to read it on the podcast and got his permission. So here we go. And the name of the piece is She Growled, Fuck Yeah. Yeah, so you can tell it's going to be an interesting piece of writing, right? Here we go. Several years ago, we started a quest to purposefully enhance our sex life. We started with cheap clitoral vibrators and dildos to see what they could do for her. Turns out she really liked the stronger vibrators, but could do without the dildos. But that's another story. While shopping and exploring the range of possibilities and purposes of various toys, we began to learn about all sorts of play we had never imagined. We also found things we had imagined, but couldn't admit to ourselves, much less to each other. We also found stuff that we said we'd never try, but eventually did. Some of that stuff seems so vanilla now. We also found stuff that we still say we'll never try. The academic in me wanted to learn about it all. Whether we would ever engage in it or not, I wanted to learn what it meant for those who did. That allowed me to conveniently lump some of the things I was interested in, but she wasn't, into the purely for academic edification category. Take, for instance, anal play. Parentheses, yes, please. She wasn't interested in receiving, but strange for me at the time, I was. It was difficult to admit to myself, much less tell her. What if she thought less of me? What if she shamed me? What if she didn't want to be with me anymore? Especially when it came to the fact that she didn't want to explore dildos anymore. How could I tell her that I did? And on top of that, it was the realistic ones that drew my eye. Taking a long step back, my earliest sexual experiences were as a preschooler and preteen, from quasi-consensual to very consensual, all male-on-male. No anal penetration, yet the pleasures of the penis, self and a handful of others, pun intended, were all I knew until I was 16. Bisexuality wasn't in my lexicon, but homophobia infected the vast majority of those who surrounded and influenced my life in Catholic grade school and high school Catholic seminary. Even those earliest preschool experiences proposed by a boy a few years older than me, I somehow knew were taboo, yet I still excitedly agreed. And yes, you read that right. I was in the study for the priesthood for a year and a half, and yes, there were experiences there too, though not with priests, as everyone, including myself, would have as a first thought. But that's another story as well. So, I was struggling to allow myself to embrace an identification as bisexual internally, frightened to open that discussion with her. Yet she seemed committed to the cause, and we did have a couple decades of marriage, so surely our foundation could withstand the revelation? And it did. Her acceptance and understanding was cautious at first, but we began an exploration that started with dildos, prostate stimulators, butt plugs, then pegging. It was one thing to receive hand-manipulated toys, but the approximation of a man between my legs? How would she ever find pleasure in that? There are women who get aroused just by the idea of pegging a man. She wasn't one of them. But she loved me and wanted to try. So we got a couple of harnesses and dildos and gave it a few tries. It was very good for me, but pretty meh for her. We even found fieldos and reeldos with a pony end that inserts into the vagina. Still did nothing for her physically or mentally. If anything, it was as uncomfortable as the dildos she didn't want to play with. Though she was curious about the reactions I had, we were both surprised by how vocal I became, even though I was so self-conscious I was actually holding back. It became frustrating for a while because I didn't want to make her go through the motions, since she wasn't getting anything out of it. If anything, she was experiencing physical discomfort, attempting to satiate me. While I appreciated her efforts to help me explore, I recognized how great it might be to be fucked by someone, real penis or pegging, who was also getting physical and mental arousal. So, I didn't ask for a time. When she initiated an offer, I would decline. That impasse lasted a year or so. Lots of discussion, potential male fuck buddies explored, potential female strap-on wielders considered. We came upon a realization. Something else had changed that we hadn't considered might improve the situation. While there's yet another worthy story here, the short version is her postmenopausal dryness is better served by vaginal moisturizers than gobs of lube. In fact, a maintenance routine of vaginal moisturizers provides for a hydrated pussy that functions well with moderate amounts of lube and prevents the sting so many postmenopausal women feel with lube alone. It occurred to her that the Fieldo-Rieldo option might be viable now. She wanted to try again, but she also wanted to learn how to wield it better, so she would follow my FetLife crumbs to videos and writings I found of pegging by women gifted with desire and technique that aroused me. She watched, read, studied, and learned. We tried a variety of positions to help her reach me, because I'm 10 inches taller. During one particular session, I decided to give in to my desire and allowed myself to move and vocalize without embarrassment. I even surprised myself with the vigor and eager manner in which I met her thrusts. It seemed her thrusts were more eager, too. Then I felt it within reach, the elusive anal orgasm, not my first, but the first by pegging. But she was becoming fatigued. Experiencing and appreciating the work that goes into fucking as the penetrator for the first time. Moving to me on top, I was able to ride her with enough intensity that orgasm occurred, body shivering uncontrollably, near tearful. "Thank you," uttered repeatedly, and she was watching, intently. Amazed at witnessing an orgasm she had caused by penetrating and realizing she had physical arousal as well. The vaginal moisturizers were working. With that distraction removed, her mind was becoming erotically engaged. She was soon ready to try again, eager to fuck me and make me orgasm, both of us less inhibited than ever before. She soon had me bucking and trying to get in position to take her cock in deeply. Then I did something I hadn't done before. I purposely squeezed my hole, trying to grasp, like I'd felt her pussy due to my cock. Wow, unexpected new pleasure for both. My squeeze transferred through to the pony end, shifting it differently inside her, exciting her mentally and physically. She had a vaginal orgasm for the first time while fucking me, and I could feel her shudder inside me. Double wow, mutual orgasm from opposite roles. Now she was getting cocky, quote, end quote, and found she liked wearing her Rieldo around without the harness. Took a couple of pics and posted them. There's a slight difference in the pics. The first one she really likes, but she was surprised and confused by her reaction to the second. She was feeling something in relation to wearing her cock, reaching down to feel it, even looking down to gaze at it. However, some sort of spell seemed broken when she saw the second picture, taken from a different angle, that shows the top of her pussy behind the cock. It bothered her enough that we almost took the second one down, but we left it up for feedback from others and to ourselves. Discussion soon turned to our reactions undeniably being a reflection of gender fluidity in both of us. Her passion in fucking me was coming from a male perspective. We bought her a jock and a soft packer that gives her pleasure to wear, reach down, and feel through her jeans. An early complaint was that it got out of position after a bit, but that was easily solved by pointing out to her that there was nothing more decidedly male than adjusting the boys, giving her a reason to feel it on the regular. As she increasingly accepted and relished her male side, her enthusiasm for fucking me intensified. So much so that she was gaining endurance through efficient sensual hip thrusting and grinding, as well as associated stimulation within herself and learning how to change up pace. Then one day she asked me to let her fuck me. She had never been that direct before, and it was hot. She soon had me writhing, moaning, and shuddering with pleasure beyond what I had yet experienced. I reached a place I had only seen before. Ecstasy. Eyes rolled back, hips wide open, legs behind her back, pulling her in kind of ecstasy, rolling orgasms through a different dimension. Then the spell was interrupted for just a moment. A voice. Her voice? Had it been imagined? My eyes narrowly opened for a moment, taking in the look on her face, and it was intense as the voice had sounded, a growling voice of an inflection I'd only ever heard uttered by men. Fuck yeah. Understand, she's always been a hell yeah girl when it comes to excitement. Maybe a fuck you girl when it comes to anger. But fuck yeah? It made me open up even more to her pounding that was making me writhe, buck, and squeeze. Her coming repeatedly, me coming repeatedly. Fuck yeah, indeed. A few days later, I asked her about it. I wanted to make sure it wasn't a fuck-induced hallucination. She blushed a bit and confirmed it a bit self-consciously. I told her how hot it had sounded and felt to me. I watched as the self-consciousness faded, replaced by self-satisfaction, pride, and acceptance. Yes, she continues to growl her male, fuck yeah, among other things, often echoed by, yes, fuck me. Was that me? It sounded breathy, soft, sultry, and feminine. That is a lovely piece of writing. See why I wanted to share that with you? It so amazingly describes the whole journey from inception, kind of the idea, to actually really getting good at it, really exploring what it meant for them to do the reversal of roles. Absolutely amazing piece of writing. Thank you so much for letting me read this. It's really hot. I think I'm going to go take a break and then record the rest of the podcast. I'll be right back. Okay. After my break, I realized I have a couple of other things to share with you. This discovery that your wife did better with a vaginal moisturizer to keep her vagina hydrated is a really cool thing for a lot of people to pay attention to if this is a situation that you deal with. Whether it's because of age and hormones causing vaginal dryness, which is really common, or you just tend to have a dry vagina anyway, moisturizers can absolutely help. And there's two that we offer through Entice Me that are fabulous. So the first one is Sliquid Satin Moisturizing Lubricant. And as always, I'll put a link in the Linkorama to this. This is a product made by Sliquid, so it's got all the good stuff, none of the bad. And it's specifically meant as a moisturizer in addition to being a lubricant. So this is an excellent product to help with vaginal dryness. The other is a product I am a big fan of. It's called Sex Butter. I've talked about it before on the podcast. And Sex Butter is made by a lady who lives in Beverly Hills. And it was specifically made to combat dryness that comes from hormonal issues or chemotherapy or perimenopause, menopause, all of those different things. It's organic and it's made only of the best ingredients. It's got cocoa butter and a bunch of awesome stuff in it. It smells a little bit like chocolate with just a tiny hint of mint. It is the most delicious smelling stuff I have ever smelled. It's so awesome. And if you take a little tiny dab of it and put it right on your clit, it kind of wakes it up. There's not enough of a stimulant in there, which would be the mint, to really, you know, send you out of your chair or anything like that. What it does is it sort of brings your attention to that area of your body. And so some women buy the sex butter, put a little dab of it on their clit, and in about, you know, half an hour before they're going to have sex, and just really, that's practically all the foreplay they need, because it really does just put all your attention right there on your sexy bits. So I highly recommend both of these products. I have them both and I've used them both. Sex butter I used one time to jerk a guy off and he said, this stuff is amazing. So I'm going to put the link to both of those in the Linkorama. And remember, if you decide to purchase those, use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off. Sometimes you guys purchase stuff and you forget the coupon code. So those are two products that would be excellent for vaginal hydration, which apparently in this case was the key factor. Okay, and last but not least, we have pegging celebration time. This is from a Dom and her sub. There are two letters here. Let me read the first one. Dear Ms. Ruby, My name is Miss Audrey Rose. I am a lifestyle and professional dom located in Portland, Oregon. Please find attached a letter to you from my dearest and most obnoxious submissive. We will call him Sam, which stands for smart-ass masochist, and fits him quite well, I assure you. My Sam is a huge fan of your podcasts and is very proud to finally write you after losing his pegging virginity. He does have some questions and concerns, however, and is looking forward to hearing your opinions. One such concern of his major one, is this. Getting fucked hard like the little slutty ass whore he is causes such intense full body orgasms, which then only continue to build in waves of intensity to the point of full body spasms and contractions. It feels so good, and they don't stop. They only get stronger. There does not seem to be a ceiling or topping off point. Of course, this leads to him finally freaking out that it feels too good, and he fears that he literally might die. My advice to him? Well, at least it would be a great way to go. That being said, I am sure he will benefit from hearing what you have to say, laugh out loud. I think any kind of insanely good sex is a risk with age. So is anything else in life that could cause strain on the heart. I guess my question to you would be this. Which of the following is theoretically more dangerous? A. Older guy fucking a woman hard and fast and then reaching a strong full-body orgasm and ejaculation, or B. Older guy getting fucked hard and fast and experiencing what is essentially a female orgasm in that it is rolling multiple orgasms that build in intensity. I am not so sure myself. Guy A is pushing it by having to do so much himself physically, like running a marathon, as opposed to guy B, who just gets to lay there like a pillow princess the whole time. The only part that seems to be in question, however, are number one, the intensity of the orgasms, which I don't know, what is it exactly that kills people during sex? Is it the physical exertion of the act itself, or the intensity of the orgasm reached? Has this been researched? And number two, the fact that it's ass play. Is it more dangerous to the heart due to all the blood vessels, perhaps? Anyways, I am thoroughly looking forward to hearing your thoughts. Please find my Sam's letter below. Thank you. Most sincerely, Miss Audrey Rose. And here's the letter from Sam. Dear Ms. Ruby, thank you for being a brave female pegging advocate, one ass at a time. I have no doubt you will go down in history as the woman who brought pegging into the sexuality mainstream. Before we get to my questions, I respectfully request the Celebration Time song be played on my behalf. My friend and pro-dom, Miss Audrey Rose, has been chastising me literally and figuratively for not requesting this sooner. About 18 months ago, I was humbled and honored to be pegged for the first time by the incredibly hot, sadistic, and kind Mistress Audrey Rose. A side note to all your listeners, don't waste another second feeling ass-deprived. Take Ms. Ruby's advice and hire a pro immediately. Thank you in advance, Ms. Ruby, for the song. I am shaking my head as I write this because I find it difficult to believe I am about to express grave concerns related to my love of pegging. Since Mistress Audrey Rose took my pegging virginity, I regularly indulge myself in solo ass play as part of my self-pleasuring routine. To be accurate, I should say only if she grants me her permission to play with her little toy. I have gotten to the point where I've had a few hands-free wet orgasms. More importantly, I now always experience dry prostate orgasms within 60 seconds of starting to ass fuck myself. Seriously. These orgasms are so intense I have pulled muscles in my back as my sphincter muscle starts to involuntarily spasm and contract forcibly. The sphincter clenching builds and builds until I am no longer able to thrust the dildo into my ass. Seriously. Dildos have actually shot out of my ass. Seriously. It's like somebody slammed a door shut and leaned against it with all their weight. Seriously. This guy's very serious. I have gotten to this point using a Tantus John Doe dildo. I'm now using the varsity level Tantus Sam, no relation, which you personally experienced, so I know how intense it can be. The Sam has completely eliminated the slammed door phenomenon. There's no slamming, let gently closing the door on the Sam. Its length and girth prevent that. A self-pegging hack for your listeners. I completely remove the lowest drawer of my dresser and then suction cup the dildo to the front of the next drawer up. I use duct tape to keep that drawer from moving. On my hands and knees, I can place my lower legs from my knees down into the cavity in the dresser created by the recently removed lower drawer. Then I can back my ass up until my ass cheeks are pressing against the front of the drawer and proceed to fuck myself with long rocking strokes. Using the John Doe, my ass play would end when my sphincter clenched so hard I was no longer able to thrust in and out. Now with the Sam, I can keep going, which leads to unbelievable full-body orgasms. They just build and keep building. Mr. Saudry Rose regularly calls me an ass whore and a lot of other dirty things, and she's right. Not only that, but I'm a greedy ass whore to boot. I just keep rocking back and forth on the mocha-colored Sam, seeing how much pleasure I can take. It basically gets to the point where I am arching my back, gripping the dildo so hard with my sphincter muscle that I think it could snap in half. I am basically frozen in place, back arched with spasms racking my entire body. They don't stop. It's heaven. But it's also scary as hell. I literally feel like I could die. One of my play partners, while pegging me doggy style and flogging my back, literally said, "You are going to have a heart attack." I actually have a video of this scene with me wearing crotchless panties, a red garter belt, and stockings. In my humble opinion, it's pretty hot and pretty funny, and shows to a lesser degree what I'm describing above. Here's the topper. This all happens within maybe 5 minutes or less of starting to get ass-fucked. I watch porn of male sissies being fucked by big-cocked real men for 30 minutes or more. This is one of my fantasies. I want to be used by a real man in this manner. I just don't know if I can live through it. Mr. Saudry Rose jokes about gagging me, which she never does because I make her laugh with my remarks, tying me to a spanking bench and fucking me hard for a good long time, knowing full well I'm having insane, continuous prostate orgasms. It's a joke, of course. She does actually care and wouldn't want me to die, but it makes me hard just thinking about it. There is a side of me that dreams of her doing it. Who knows? Maybe there is a way to come out the other side of these prostate orgasms, where I actually could handle a longer fuck safely. I want to say I totally get the fact that this is an awesome problem to have. I'm aware most of your listeners have been rolling their eyes listening to all this whining. Yes, it is pathetic on my part. It is obvious. I just need to stop when it gets so intense. I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack. I know I need to go much more slowly with the thrusting and use a much smaller toy. But it's hard because I'm greedy and it feels insanely good. But as I age, I'm 54 with borderline hypertension. I'm concerned the consequences of this ass ecstasy could actually be grave. I found only one article on the web that addresses the physical stressors of prostate orgasms. And then he put a link. It states in relevant part, "I have to warn you, and this warning should be taken seriously. Prostate sex creates the most intense orgasms possible, but the intensity of it can be more than some men can stand. If you are older or have a weak heart, prostate sex greatly increases not just the intensity of the orgasm, it also increases the stress on your system and your heart. For a young, healthy guy, this is almost never a problem. But for older men, it may be too much, and is not at all advised. You've heard the stories about the 70-year-old or even 40-something guy who dies while making love to his 20-year-old girlfriend? That's because the excitement and blood pressure increase was too much or too often for the man's body to handle. The same thing can happen with prostate sex. It can become extremely intense." And that's the end of the quote. "I'm a relatively avid listener and total fan of you and your podcasts, yet I have not heard this exact topic discussed thus far. Questions. 1. Have you heard of other men that have had this intensity of orgasm so quickly and seemingly without end? Honestly, I feel like I'm a freak of nature. I've been scrubbing the web, and it seems my prostate orgasms are truly off the chart compared to all the other prostate orgasm descriptions I've found, not that they are not clearly powerful as well. Mr. Saudry Rose has pegged numerous submissive men, and she has never experienced or heard of this ability, gift, affliction, to such a degree. 2. In your non-medical but expert pegging opinion, should I worry about dying due to my being such a greedy ass whore? Thank you, Ms. Ruby, you rock. Fondly and submissively, Sam." All right. First, let me go all the way back to Miss Audrey Rose's letter. And Miss Audrey Rose, you asked the question, which of the following is theoretically more dangerous, the older guy fucking or the older guy getting fucked? You know, it's really impossible to tell. I do think that the cardiovascular entailed in fucking someone would create more of a strain on your cardiovascular system. And if you have a heart issue, it could be worse. But, you know, there's really no way to tell. Because if it's true that the orgasms are that much more intense, then who knows? Maybe that puts a lot of cardio into it as well. So no, there's absolutely no studies that have been done why people die when they're having sex. I do think a lot of times it's a heart issue. So it's not a matter of if you're healthy and you don't have any heart issues at all and you don't have any high blood pressure or anything like that and you fuck too hard, you'll die. That's not the case. There is always some underlying cause. Normally, I would think, and again, Sam was right, I'm absolutely not a doctor, so preface all this opinion with that, but I would think that people who have the underlying condition of hypertension or a heart issue or they have high cholesterol or something like that, that perhaps you should take it easy. I also think that you kind of need to trust your body. In other words, you can go with it and go with it and go with it, and then if it starts to feel like too much, then you should stop, because your body gets those messages for a reason sometimes. And I think it's safer in this kind of situation to trust that as opposed to, well, let's see what happens if I just keep going. The thought of it, I have to admit, is pretty hot because I sort of like the idea of that. But in reality, if it were to go wrong, it would be maybe potentially really wrong. So that's not good at all. Another factor is how big a toys you play with, because if you're playing with really big toys that push past that internal sphincter, then one of the things that you're coming up against is the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve is pretty central for a lot of things. Actually, stimulation of it can do some great things. But yeah, there are a fair amount of blood vessels and things in there. I've never heard of anybody having an issue that way. On the other hand, normally, if you've got a toy that's big enough to push past the inner sphincter, Hirsch's sphincter, you should be using it slow. You shouldn't be using it hard, because that's a more delicate area, and you're also going through that sphincter. The vagus nerve is right there. You would never want to do any damage to that. I have no idea how easy it is to damage something like that. I do know that stimulation of it does wonderful things to the body, and that is theoretically why pushing past Hirsch's sphincter with an ultra-long big toy is so ecstatic for some men. So all of that, please take all of that into consideration. But, you know, there's no studies for this. It's all kind of a guessing game. And then moving on to Sam's letter. I was very happy to play the music for you, Sam. Absolutely. I think you are smart to be concerned. I think that despite the play of she's dominant and you're submissive, that you are also both very smart to kind of check into it, and also for her to stop when you freak out and say, please stop. So here's an interesting thing I thought about. You know how on my podcast I always talk about never, ever, ever use numbing lube? Never? This might be a situation that you could try, because clearly you've taken some big toys. This is not a situation where you cannot accommodate a big toy, so you already know what your limits are in terms of how big of a toy you can accommodate. So what would happen? I'm just really curious. What would happen if you put numbing lube on the toy that she's fucking you with? I wonder if that would slow things down. Because as a pegger who loves to peg men, if I was pegging a guy and 5 minutes later he was freaking out going, no, 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 I can't take any more, honestly, I would be a little bit disappointed. Certainly not enough to say, no, I'm just going to keep going here if he was freaking out. But wouldn't it be cool if we could figure something out so that she could fuck you longer, so that you didn't freak out because it felt so damn intense? And perhaps that numbing lube would help. Who knows? And this is the only time in the history of pegging paradise that I have ever said, maybe try the numbing lube. Because you know, one of the things that happens when you use numbing lube is not only does it numb that outer anal sphincter, but it numbs everything inside too. So I'm wondering if that would make a difference. I suggest you guys try it out. And you had mentioned the Sam dildo. I actually don't have that one. I actually don't have that one, but I had to look it up to see what the measurements were so that I could know kind of what territory you're in. It is 1.8 inches wide. That's not tremendously huge. And it's 7.3 inches long. So you're probably coming right up against that sphincter if she is indeed sinking it to the hilt. So the sphincter is what I probably would be concerned about in terms of getting fucked really hard. There's a lot of guys out there, a lot of women out there that get fucked really, really hard in the ass, and their sphincters are fine. I do wish to point out, however, that the prostate is a gland, and glands can only take so much punishment. Although I have found stories of guys who have put so much pressure on their prostate that the next day it felt a little bruised. Now, I'm not sure what that would actually feel like, but do keep in mind it is a gland. When I was doing the research on using bigger toys and whether you could ruin your ass forever and whether you could be fecally incontinent, I had this lovely person answer, this man who was obviously a medical professional, although he would never identify himself for really obvious reasons. And he said, you know, it's a gland, so you can't hammer away at it. Please, you know, take that into consideration. So he was the one that put that idea in my head, which I faithfully relayed to all you people because he's the doctor and I'm not. So all of those pieces of information you can put together and see what you can do something with. Here's another suggestion. Instead of using the SAM, how about if she uses a thinner dildo that doesn't stimulate you as much? Because the thickness of the SAM is going to go right next to your prostate every single time it goes in and out. So theoretically, once again, less contact with that prostate might benefit you and lengthen out those sessions. It'll be a drive-by instead of a side swipe or a head-on. Bringing in those car metaphors, you know how much I love those. So try a thinner dildo, despite the fact that you are greedy and you love the big toys. Maybe one not quite as long and the numbing lube. And with those three things together, see how that feels. See if maybe she can fuck you for longer and you guys can find a nice in-between. I think overall, what my opinion is going to be is that you need to trust your own body. Because if it's so intense you feel like you're going to die, then you should probably stop. You know, pleasure that much can, yes, like you say, pull the muscle in your back, things like that. And since you do have a case of slight hypertension, better safe than sorry. But try those things that I mentioned and let us know how it goes, because that might work for you guys. And thank you so much for writing in. That was fun to read. I don't often get letters from pro doms, so that was kind of cool. And for all of you listeners, if you don't know what lifestyle and pro means, lifestyle means she lives her life as a dominant woman and has submissive men. And she also is a professional dominatrix who has sessions with submissive men. So lifestyle and professional, that's what that means. So once again, thank you too for writing in. Those letters were a delight to read. Oh, and as always, if anybody out there listening knows more than I do about this, please write in or call in 805-500-6544 and enlighten us. Give us more information because this is a pretty cool thing. And yes, hell of a problem to have, Sam. All right. That is it for today. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. I also have work at pegging101.com, where there is informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab also has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some new toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off your purchase. All your purchases from enticeme.com support my work. Thank you. Send your question to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too simple, too strange, or too silly. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so throw those questions in my mailbox or call me. Once again, the number is 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everyone. You rock. Happy pegging.